Get Published, Episode 15, for Sunday, October 18th, 2009. Hi there, and welcome to Get Published. I'm your host, Mike Plested. Well, by now I'm sure you know how important I think networking is. Whether the person you're meeting and making a connection with is a writer, editor, publisher, or reader, you can never meet and know too many people. It is because of networking that I was fortunate enough to get today's guest on the show. I met Tina Hunter when I attended Conversion 25, the local science fiction and fantasy convention. I'd listened to Tina speak on a panel, and I had a chance to chat with her afterwards. She was gracious enough to give some of her time that day, and we talked about the importance of attending conventions. You might remember that conversation from episode 12. Happily, I didn't frighten her off, and she agreed to do a full interview, and we'll hear that interview later in this episode. I also received several comments and questions, which I'll play during the comments section of the show. Thanks for joining me.
Gilroy 2.0 is here. Gilroy 2.0 is everywhere. Gilroy 2.0 will be everywhere. And John, and Dr. Mike, and Father Thomas, and the psychopathic John Alpha, as the most popular podcast novel series in history, gets a reboot. Seventh Son Descent is in print now. The beta clones are back with new scenes, new set pieces for the print novel. The President of the United States is dead, murdered by a four-year-old boy, and it's up to John and the other beta clones to hunt the man behind the assassination, John Alpha. To celebrate Seventh Son Descent's bookstore debut, author J.C. Hutchins, that's me, is releasing more clone-killing content at his website and beyond. An entirely new serialized podcast recording of Seventh Son Descent's print edition manuscript, serialized PDFs of the book, free music by John Smith, Seventh Son, 7 Days, a prequel anthology, and the full text of the novel, serialized at boingboing.net, all available now. Support the print debut of Seventh Son Descent. Learn more and download the free audiobook and other content at jchutchins.net and at podiobooks.com.
Try again. And now we're on to the feedback section of the show, and I'm happy to say several came in despite the fact that the voice line was canceled. Yeah, you heard me right. The voicemail line was canceled due to loneliness. I have re-registered, and now I have a new number. That number is 206-203-2031. Give it a call if you have a chance and leave your comments. But for now, let's get on to the comments that I did receive.
Hey, Michael, this is Dan, the Art Man from Spokane, Washington. I just wanted to call in and say episode 14 was awesome with Gabrielle Harboe from Dragon Moon Press. It's great to hear her elaborate on all kinds of things to someone who is a writer and starting to get some stuff done so they can learn how to go about when they're submitting their work. And just a lot of great information and fun to listen to, and I really enjoy the podcast. Keep up the good work, and I'll keep on listening. Talk to you later.
Hi, Dan. I'm glad that you're getting useful information out of the podcast. I know that Gabrielle put a lot of thought into her comments for our discussion in hopes that it would be valuable to you and to all the writers out there. I would absolutely encourage you and everyone else to go to her blog site at gabrielle-edits.com to read about more of her insights. She always has some good information there. Thanks for the comment and for your support.
Hello, Mike. This is Jack Jaffe, author of Down the Road and The Baker's Dozen, the first full-choice audience participation podcast available at 12voltheater.com. Let me just say that your podcast has really inspired me and helped me try to slowly get over my fear of actually submitting to a publisher. In fact, just listening to your show and leaving one comment to you, one question, got me approached by Gabrielle from Dragon Moon Press, which, while the conversation was a little awkward on my part because I was completely unprepared, she was nothing but kind and generous with her time. And I got to ask a few questions about what they're looking for over at Dragon Moon. Let me just say that just listening to the show alone has gone a long way towards me eventually, hopefully, maybe, submitting some of my work so that someday, maybe possibly, I could potentially get published. Hey, keep up the good work, and hey, let's try for that run at the Parsecs again in 2010.
Hey, Jack. Yes, Gabrielle is a great friend to this podcast and an all-around terrific person. I'm a big fan of hers, and I'm glad you two are able to connect. I know I've listened to your stories, and I'm really enjoying them, so I don't see any reason why you couldn't be published down the road. Little plug there. Persistence and desire really are the two key ingredients to getting there. And I really appreciate all of your support, and I would love to take another run at the Parsecs next year. Maybe the second time will be the charm.
Hey, Michael, this is Dan the Art Man again. I couldn't get to a microphone, so this time I'm coming to you through my droid, R2-D3-PO. He's a big fan of the podcast, too. It doesn't matter that I programmed him that way. He'd still like it running on his basic code, I'm sure. Anyways, I had a question for you. I hear a lot of audiobook authors saying their works are brought to you by a company, like how your podcast says, Get Published is an irreverent muse production at the end. It seems many audiobook authors have started their own small business. What is the benefit of this? I'm curious if I should start my own small business and go buy a business license. Just so I can say my podcast is a so-and-so production, or this podcast was brought to you by so-and-so. So is this something I should look into when I podcast my novel? Thanks, Mike. Dan the Art Man and R2-D3-PO.
Hello, Dan and R2-D3-PO. Wow, my first AI fan, that's really cool. In answer to your question, I don't think it's necessary to start a formal business. I know some podcasters have done so. A good example would be T. Morris and Imagine That Studios. In T's case, he provides consulting services for a fee and therefore has likely done it for tax purposes. In my case, Irreverent Muse Productions is an unregistered brand. My blog is The Irreverent Muse, and I thought it would be nice to have all my work tied together. I suspect other podcasters have done the same. At the end of the day, it's more about branding for me than it is about making money. The podcast is free, and so is everything I put under the Irreverent Muse banner. I hope that answers your questions. And if you have any feedback, comments, or questions, you can reach me via my voicemail line at 206-203-2031. Or you can also email me at feedback@getpublishedpodcast.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter or friend feed or Facebook. My Twitter address is mplested. My friend feed and Facebook are Michael Plested, and that's Michael spelled M-I-C-H-E-L-L. Whatever method works for you, I encourage you to send me any questions, comments, or feedback you might have. Thanks very much.
Melvin Spall can't make up his mind. Should he leave his mistress or divorce his wife? Should he try to escape the zombie outbreak by driving out of town? Or should he trust the National Guard with his family's safety? With the undead threat around every corner, will Melvin's indecision lead to his own doom? Featuring a zombie outbreak that devastates Denver, an indecisive adulterer, and a series of violent, disturbing, and perhaps even heart-rending events of the sort you'd expect when the dead rise up to eat the living. Cheating Death is a roller coaster ride through a horror show both of death and of the heart. Cheating Death is available now as an ebook through smashwords.com. Will be available for order in paperback October 31st through booksellers everywhere, and will be beginning to broadcast November 13th as a serialized audiobook from PodioBooks.com and ModernEvil.com.
Danger. Incoming interview. It gives me great pleasure to introduce Tina Hunter. Tina writes primarily in the science fiction and fantasy genres, however, a touch of horror has been known to influence her work. In 2007, Tina volunteered to be a slush pile reader for the imprint Edge Science Fiction and Fantasy Publishing. The experience has broadened her knowledge of the publishing industry and strengthens her skills as a writer and editor. In 2009, Tina had her first two short stories published in the Seven Deadly Sins flash fiction anthology, published by Absolute Express. Welcome to the show, Tina.
Nice to be on the show.
Before we get going too far in, is there anything in your bio that doesn't quite capture who you are as a writer?
There's other things that I'm participating in, but I guess we can chat about those as we go along.
Excellent. Well, and I would have to guess that working for an actual publisher has given you a bit of insight into what the publishing industry is like.
Definitely, definitely. Being a slush pile reader is something that I would almost recommend every author get an opportunity to do. It's very eye-opening.
I'm sure. So did it actually give you the sense that your writing is better than you had thought, or some of it's better, some of it's worse?
Well, I've been doing it for about 2 years. So when I first started, it was a massive learning curve because I was seeing things that people were submitting and I was going, ooh, I do that. And that really does not work. So it was great in that sense because I was able to improve my own writing just from reading other people's work. But then, yeah, it was definitely a confidence builder because, you know, my work is a lot better than some of the stuff that's going through that slush pile. So
it's nice to be able to say that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I know I do a little bit of work or I do some critiquing with critters.org, and I can see some of the mistakes that I used to make in some of the writing I read. So I certainly know what you're saying. So you have a little bit of an inside knowledge of publishing, but can you tell us a little bit about your publishing history?
Well, as you mentioned in my bio, I do have two flash fiction stories published in Seven Deadly Sins anthology. It's sort of a flash fiction challenge, I guess, is what they're calling it now. It's going to become a quarterly event. And so I have two flash fiction stories there, and I have two more coming out in the second flash fiction challenge this October, and one short story coming out in October.
Excellent. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And for those of my listeners who don't know, can you tell me a little bit about what defines flash fiction from regular short fiction?
Flash fiction is defined as something under 1,000 words. A lot of people will say that it has to have a twist at the end. You'll find a lot of people vary on that, but it's a quick read and they're very interesting, I think.
And I'm guessing every word has to count if you've only got that short a time to tell your story.
Yes, yes. Well, the shortest story in The Seven Deadly Sins is 500 words.
Okay, so a couple of pages, basically.
I think it fits onto one page. It's very short.
Wow.
Yes, yeah. I don't have the pleasure of saying that one is mine.
Well, and I don't know about you, but I think writing short fiction can be almost as difficult as writing a full novel because you have to be so precise.
Yes, you do. And as you were saying, every word does count in flash fiction.
Right. Let's talk about some of the other things you've written. I know that you are working on a novel, but what else have you done?
Well, I'm working on, as we speak, I'm doing a graphic novel with an artist, and I'm doing a short animation film. So I'm doing the screenplay or script writing for that.
So you're working in a real diversity of mediums as far as writing is concerned.
Yeah, all the way from 1,000 words to novels, from screenplays to graphic novels.
And is it a different mindset for each of the different things that you're writing, or do you find that the creative process is largely the same?
The creative process is, but it is a different mindset. With graphic novels and screenplays, because the format is so different, you kind of see things differently.
Right.
you see the scene in a different way than you would in, say, a short story or in a novel. So I think it's actually a nice exercise to kind of put yourself into those different mind frames and see how things look.
So just the fact that you're working in all of those different visual, I guess, type mediums, do you find that's actually helping you to become a better writer?
Oh, yes. When I started, I guess a little bit of background, the graphic novel was actually something I wrote for the 3-day novel contest.
Okay.
And so I was rewriting it as a graphic novel. And so to take it from sort of a novella type format to a sort of a script format, there were so many things that I learned and how to tighten and how, okay, well, this is really vague and I should be a little bit more clear about that. And it was sort of a nice way to see another side of the same story.
Okay, very, very cool. Now, have you investigated with all of those various types of writing, have you investigated if there is a difference in the whole process to try to get your work in print?
Yes, the graphic novel industry is very different from the novel or short story format. With a graphic novel, they only want to see a sample. So they don't want a whole and complete thing. They just want a sample. So it's actually quite a bit less work to do a graphic novel and submit it and see if they like it. Whereas with a novel, you need to have something done and edited and practically perfect before you send it out.
Right. So when you're saying a sample, I'm guessing a few pages with the art and the story itself.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. They do want to see a full synopsis. So they want to see that you actually know what the whole story is going to be about, okay. But they only need a sample of the artwork.
And of all the different types of writing you're doing, do you find any easier than others, more difficult than others?
They all have their own unique challenges and pleasures. I think a novel is the hardest for me just because I'm very much of the generation that likes instant gratification.
I understand.
So it's a little hard to get that when you're slogging through a novel for a year.
Or 7 years.
Or seven.
yeah, that's my story, not yours. But yeah, 7 years for my novel to be finished, the first one.
Well, hopefully the next one doesn't take 7.
Oh, no, the second one took 3 weeks. Yeah, I kind of appreciated 3 weeks a lot more than I appreciated the 7 years. Trust me, it's all about not editing every page over and over while you're trying to write. Let's talk a little bit about your volunteer work as a slush pile reader. Can you tell us a little bit about how you actually got involved in that?
Well, I actually went to Conversion 3 years ago, and I met Brian Hades, who is the owner of Hades Publications, which is Edge Science Fiction and Fantasy is underneath that. And he was looking for volunteer readers. And through meeting him and chatting with him, I got the position to be a sort of a volunteer reader. So that was lucky and great thing.
And this is a bit of a loaded question. I think I know how you're going to answer, but by actually taking the risk to talk to the publisher, and a lot of writers are shy, and I know I probably fit in that a little bit, but by taking that risk, do you think it's actually helped you to get published that much more quicker?
Absolutely. I know for a fact that I wouldn't be published in the 7 Deadly Sins if I hadn't met Brian Hades. So, yes.
So I've kind of preached this before in my blog, and I've talked about it a bit in a few of the other episodes. Being a little bit outgoing, even if it's outside your comfort zone, is absolutely critical.
It is. Ask anybody who actually knows me outside of the writing world, and I'm a complete and total introvert. Hate crowds. I don't like people. I'd be very happy to just sit in my office and write and never come out. But when I go to cons, when I'm talking to writers, when I'm doing a podcast, I have to put on a different hat. You have to be a little bit more outgoing than you would be normally.
No, that's for sure. And you give me a really great segue into the next question, which is, what kind of things do you do to promote your work and to promote yourself as a writer?
Well, this podcast would definitely fit under that.
I would think so.
Going to cons, like I said, are great opportunities to network. to meet people? Do you get your name known by editors and publishers, anybody who happens to be going there? And being on a panel, which I was this year at Conversion, actually helped me get another thing, which is I'm doing a continuation of one of the panels that I did at Conversion on Linda Williams' blog.
Right. I think I saw a mention of that. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what you're doing there?
Well, it's a week-long event, and it'll actually have already happened by the time your lovely listeners actually get to hear this podcast. But we're basically talking about women who don't kick butt, women in genre fiction, so fantasy and science fiction, and sort of talking about the stereotypes and sort of the non-militaristic women of the genre and how that's evolved.
Right, and I actually attended that panel this year, and I think you were talking, even more specifically, you were talking about those female characters who are not the Amazon warriors. They're kind of the ones who you might even consider to be in the background a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm. Sort of the more realistic female characters, not just men who wear breasts and tight pants.
Well, yeah, and I typically don't do that, wear breasts, that is, and tight pants. But no, and I think you make a great point, too, talking about something realistic, in that some people think that because it's genre fiction, and I'll use fantasy specifically, it has to be fantastic. But the characters, really, they're based on people. And to make something interesting and compelling and relatable, the characters actually have to be real.
Yes, they do. And I think it's becoming more of a requirement today than it was, say, even 5-10 years ago. Readers want real characters. Not only do they want the escapism, but they want someone that they can actually relate to.
Yeah, for sure. It's pretty hard to relate to Superman because not too many of us can fly and are invulnerable to any kind of harm and shoot X-ray, have X-ray vision and so on.
Yeah.
So you've talked about the various kinds of things that you write. Can you tell us a little bit about what your favorite thing about being a writer is?
Oh, definitely world building. I am a world builder alcoholic, if that's a term. I make maps. I do detailed histories, especially if it's a fantasy. It's my favorite part, is to getting into those details and figuring out how the world works and what's different from reality and why is it different.
A little bit of a God complex then.
It's so I don't have to be a control freak at home.
Yes, I'm sure your family appreciates that.
Very much so.
Now, if we were to look at the inverse of that question, what would you consider your greatest frustration in being a writer?
Well, as I was mentioning, probably the first draft of a novel, slogging through and staying motivated to actually finish it, is probably the hardest thing and the most frustrating thing, I would say.
I would agree with that. And what kind of things do you do to keep yourself motivated?
Well, I've tried different ways of outlining. I think I'm onto sort of a semi-outline right now. It's more like signposts, so I still get to have fun and figure out how things are going in between each signpost, but I still know where I'm going.
Right. Well, it's important to enjoy the writing, and I think you can definitely see when a writer hits that point where they're tired of their story.
Yes.
Now, I think you've mentioned, you know, in passing when we've chatted, I asked you about whether you have an agent or not. And I don't believe you do you?
No, I don't.
Have you done any agent searches at this point, or is that something that you're looking at maybe down the road in the future?
To me, I think an agent is something that you need later on. When you've got a few books underneath, you know, your belt and you're looking to negotiate a contract that's a little bit better than the basic.
Right.
Or if you think it's your destiny to be published by Random House. Those are pretty much the only two options that I think that you need an agent for. And obviously, because I don't have two or three books under my belt, I haven't been doing an agent search.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, it's every time you need to go, whether you're looking for a publisher or an agent or an editor, it's taking away from your actual craft of writing. And I've been in that. So I can understand what you're saying. So can you tell us a little bit about some of the work that you've done? You've alluded a little bit to what your graphic novel is. What's your favorite thing to write?
My favorite thing to write?
Do you like science fiction or horror or fantasy or a combination of all of them?
pretty much a combination of all of them. Like you mentioned in my lovely introduction, I write mostly science fiction fantasy with a touch of horror. Right. So what that means to me is that my fantasy and science fiction have a touch of realism, because to me, horror isn't slasher flick kind of horror. It's the real reality of horrible situations.
Right.
So to me, whether it's science fiction, whether it's fantasy, having that touch of the gritty sort of realistic side, no matter how fantastic the background, that's what I like to write.
Gotcha. And so you've also told us that you're working on a number of projects at this point. What do you see beyond the three stories that are coming out? What do you see as being your next published work? Or is that kind of a loaded question?
Well, I'm really hoping it's my novel. But if I were to be realistic, I'm probably going to have another short story. I've submitted a few more, so I'm hoping that one of those gets accepted. Once I'm in the revising editing stage of my novel. So once I'm done that, then I'll be setting that out. We'll have the graphic novel. It's we're just on a sort of hashing out the details right now. So hopefully that'll be done here soon. And the animation, we're working on the script. So once that's finalized, we actually get to start animating.
Excellent. And I mean, that's all very exciting. And I think it gives me a lot of fodder to get you back on the show for your screenwriting and for your graphic novels. I'm rubbing my hands together in glee here. Is there anything we haven't touched on today that you'd like to mention, or any words of wisdom you'd like to share?
Words of wisdom. Well, like I said at the beginning, probably trying to get yourself in some slush pile reading event. Even writers groups can help with that. Just seeing other people's writing and seeing how you can improve upon your own from reading a lot.
Right. Yeah, no, I totally agree. You can't get better without feedback or seeing examples of both good and bad writing.
Agree.
And where can my listeners find you?
Oh, I'm everywhere.
Excellent.
I have a website, www.tinahunter.ca. So that's TINAHUNTER.ca. I'm also on Twitter. So twitter.com/TinaHunter, no space.
Perfect. Well, Tina, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today. I really appreciate the story and you sharing how you've been progressing as a writer.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
It's my pleasure.
And sometimes
Hello.
Even...
Excuse me. Did one of you order the triple espresso campana?
That's mine, thanks. So you were saying?
I've been listening to Down from 10. It's this new mystery thingy where everyone is having the same dream.
Yeah, I heard it. It's like a science fiction convention where everyone's naked and there's
this
weird...
No. It's more like Douglas Adams redid Misery as a sex comedy.
Oh, come on. It's a Clockwork Orange played as a romance.
No. It's very simple. It's The Shining meets Clue. Kind of. I think.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's totally it.
You nailed it. That's perfect.
From the author of Sculpting God and the Antithesis Progression comes the audio fiction genre train wreck event of the year, Down from 10. It's The Shining meets Clue. Kinda. Find out for yourself at www.jdsawyer.net. You can make the whole world end if you just count down from 10. Also available on iTunes.
An alien. With maybe a little bit of American Psycho. I don't know. Do you like Huey Lewis in the News? Just tell me!
And that's our show. If you'd like to leave feedback, comments, or questions, you can call the voicemail line at 206-203-2031. Or you can send me an email at feedback@getpublishedpodcast.com. Send me a friend request on Facebook or friend feed at Michael Plested, or follow me on Twitter at mplested. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, work hard, never give up, and maybe you too can get published. Thanks for listening.
Get Published is an Irreverent Muse production.